Good morning, church. It's so good to be with you this morning. I absolutely love May Mission Month, and it's such a privilege to be here and share with you. It's so good to be part of a church that's so committed to local and global ministry, not just in the month of May, but all year round. So this morning, as we look at this conversation, this passage between Jesus and the disciples, I just want to highlight two things. I want us to see that Jesus is all about mission. That's his thing. Jesus is all about seeing all people in all places coming into his eternal kingdom. It's literally what he lived for. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is that as his disciples, as followers of Jesus already in his eternal kingdom, we actually get to be part of this work. We actually get to be part of seeing people come into God's eternal kingdom. So that's it. Those are the two things that I want to look at this morning. For anyone who's been around church for any amount of time, these are not new things. None of this is new to you. You've probably heard it 1,000 times. But I think as it's May Mission Month, what better time than to refocus our attention on God's heart for mission? So allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus came to earth to offer all people in all places eternal life in your kingdom. We pray, Lord, that as we remember your heart and joy of seeing people come into your kingdom, that we ourselves will go out into our world and be part of seeing more people in more places coming to know you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this conversation that Jesus has with his disciples, it actually comes as an interlude, a bit of an intermission in a bigger story. The conversation falls in the middle of the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. This story, I'm sure you're all pretty familiar with. But just to refresh our memories, Jesus and the disciples, they're making their way from Galilee to Judah. And the most direct route is to go through Samaria. Now, Jews and Samaritans, they didn't get on at all. They had some fundamentally different ideas about how they worshipped God. And they had some underlying political and ethnic issues as well. And so the tension between the Jews and the Samaritans was so strong that most Jews actually opted to travel around Samaria and to avoid it altogether. They would take an extra long journey just to avoid going there. But Jesus and his disciples, they take the most direct route and they go through Samaria. They come to a well in the middle of the town. Jesus, he's tired from the journey, and so he rests at the well, and it's about midday. So the disciples go off and try and find some lunch. And while Jesus is resting at the well, a local Samaritan woman who's been ostracized from her community and is forced to go to the well on her own and in the heat of the day comes and joins him. Jesus tells this Samaritan woman everything about her. Jesus tells her that she's had 5 husbands and the man she's with now is not her husband. Jesus offers this woman living water and tells her that he is the Messiah that they've been waiting for. The woman, so excited by this encounter with Jesus, she leaves her jug at the well and rushes off into the town to go and tell the other townspeople. And this is where we are in our story. The disciples, they come back to the well and they found some lunch, they've got some food. They didn't hear much of the conversation between Jesus and this woman. They basically just see her leave. And so they're there and they're urging Jesus to eat something. And Jesus starts saying some confusing things and they're wondering, did someone bring him food? They're just not sure. And then Jesus says this. In verse 34, Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Now, this probably doesn't do much to help clarify for the disciples. But while the disciples are preoccupied with lunch and thinking about physical food, Jesus starts talking about a different kind of food. Jesus is talking about something deeper, a food which gives him sustenance, that nourishes and makes him full in the soul. Food is what gives us strength. It keeps us alive. It satisfies us. It enables us to do the things that we do that make us us. And Jesus' food, what fills Jesus, what nourishes and strengthens Jesus, is doing the will of the Father. Jesus is so dependent on the work of the Father, on doing it, on seeing the fruit of the work. He actually craves it. He hungers for it. Jesus' entire life is sustained and satisfied by doing the Father's work and will. This week while I was thinking about this, maybe I was hungry when I was doing it, but it made me think of an old ad that was on telly. And I know what you're thinking, but just stay with me for just a little while, okay? You might remember the ad. It's for those chocolate bars, Snickers. And the one that sticks out in my head in particular is the one with Betty White. Now, Betty White is a famous actress and she's in her late 90s. And in this ad, Betty White is playing football in the park with a bunch of 20-year-old guys. And obviously, she's not really keeping up with them. But someone hands her a Snickers bar and she takes a bite and she turns into a young 20-year-old guy who starts playing football really well. And the tagline of this ad is, "You're not yourself when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies." Doing the work and will of God is Jesus' Snickers bar. Jesus says his food is to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. Jesus can only be fully himself and fully filled when he is doing the work of the Father and seeing it come to fruition. So while the disciples are trying to get Jesus to eat this physical food, eat some lunch, Jesus knows that the only food that will fully satisfy him, which will fully fill him and give him energy, is doing the work of the Father. And what is this work? It's to give eternal life. It's to see all people in all places come into his eternal kingdom. This is the work Jesus must do. John 3:16, just one chapter before our passage this morning, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Jesus' food is to give eternal life. What Jesus hungers and craves for is to see people in all places come into his eternal kingdom, to have eternal life. This is what satisfies and fills Jesus. This is why Jesus came to this Samaritan town in the first place. The physical food the disciples have is not going to fully fill and satisfy Jesus. But seeing the Samaritan woman, seeing the townspeople, and offering them eternal life, offering them a way to come into his eternal kingdom, doing the work and will of the Father, this will fully satisfy Jesus. This will nourish his soul. Mission is Jesus' thing. It's his bread and butter. Jesus is all about seeing all people in all places come into his eternal kingdom. So that's the first point. Jesus is all about mission. The second point, as Jesus' followers, as Jesus' disciples, we actually get to play a part. We have a role to play in seeing people come into his eternal kingdom. Jesus sends us out to bring people in. Have a read from verse 35 with me. "Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." So Jesus moves from talking about his food to talking about the disciples' spiritual food. The spiritual food of all of God's children, of our food, is also to do the work of God. Jesus tells us to open up our eyes, to take a look around, look out at the fields and see that they are ripe for harvest. They're ready to go. Now, I'm not a farmer. I did a little bit of agriculture in high school because 14-year-old me thought it would be cool to drive a tractor, and it was. But Jesus and his disciples, they would have been familiar with farming. Jesus is using phrases that would have been familiar to the disciples. And so what Jesus is saying here is that, I mean, sowing's hard work. It's hot and sweaty and dirty and grimy, laborious work. And you get really nothing for it. At the end of a day of sowing, there's not really anything to show for it. There's not much out in the field. You can't see any crop. There's nothing to take down to the market and sell and get any money from. No, you have to wait. You have to wait 4 months until that crop grows so that you can actually earn your wage for your sowing. But harvesting, now this is where the fun is. I mean, you can see this big, beautiful, fresh crop in front of you. You can go out into the field. Yep, it's hard work bringing it in, but you take it down to the market and you get paid for your 4 months worth of growing and work. And then you celebrate. It's time to celebrate. It's time to eat and feast. And that's why there are so many harvest time specific festivals which are celebrated throughout history and in all parts of the world. But in Jesus' story of the harvest for eternal life, the sowing and the reaping all happens at once. There's no need to wait 4 months. As soon as the sower plants the seeds, the reaper can go and can harvest and draw a wage. Look at verse 35 again. Look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so the sower and reaper may be glad together. The sower and reaper are working together. They have the same end goal of reaping for eternal life in mind. They're working at the same time, and then they are celebrating together as well. They're both enjoying the harvest crop for eternal life. They're rejoicing together. There are those who are doing the work of the sower, the laborious and hard, sweaty work. And there are those who are doing the work of the reaper, of bringing in the crop. But sower and reaper are unified in their work. They're doing it together. They're celebrating together. Jesus says in verse 37, thus the saying, one sows and another reaps is true. There are specific roles in the harvest for eternal life. Some of us are sowers. It's what we do, it's what we're good at. And a lot of time, the sowers, they don't necessarily get to see the rewards firsthand. They don't always get to be part of the harvest. But no sowing of the seed is ever wasted. The only reason that there's a crop at the other end is because of the faithful work of the sowers. And sowing seeds, it looks like faithful prayer for people, for communities, for countries to come to know Jesus. It's financially supporting local and global ministries. It means living our lives with kingdom values and sowing seeds of the gospel in our families, our workplaces, our schools, our friendship groups. This is the work of the sowers. And then there are the reapers, those who are out in the fields, reaping the harvest. The reapers, they're so reliant on the sowers. The sowers have done the hard work, have put the crop in the ground, that they're out there reaping the benefits of the sower's hard work. Jesus says this. He says, others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. In saying this, Jesus is humbling the reapers. reminding them that they are reaping the benefits of others' hard work. They're witnessing the harvest because of the faithful praying and giving and sowing that others have done before them. That this is a unified work of all of God's children. Now, the disciples, they hadn't been part of any of the conversation that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman. But Jesus knows that the Samaritan woman and a whole bunch of the town people are coming out to see him. And he knows that the disciples, they're actually going to be part of the harvest. Jesus and the Samaritan woman and countless others before them are the ones who have sowed the seed. But the disciples actually get to witness and be part of the harvest. But both sowers and reapers can celebrate together. Both sowers and reapers can be glad when the harvest for eternal life happens. Last night was the end of Ramadan. And so Ramadan is it's a month-long Muslim fast from where all Muslims fast from sunrise to sunset. And many Muslims fast during this time in the hope of getting closer to Allah. Most of them are genuinely seeking to know Allah better. They're seeking to know God. And every year during Ramadan in particular, Muslim people report having dreams and visions of Jesus. People who live in Muslim communities who have little knowledge about Jesus or the gospel are having encounters with Jesus. In a country in the Middle East, there's a young Muslim man, and his name is Hamid. And one night during Ramadan, Hamid had a dream that he was being buried alive in sand. And he was trying to get out of the sand. He was crying out for help, but it was no good. The sand just kept pouring on top of him and pushing him down. He was straining his chest and his neck to try and keep his head above the sand. But again, the sand just kept on coming until all that was left was his hand above the sand. Hamid, he thought that was it. He thought he was lost beneath the sand forever. But then he felt someone take his hand. This person pulled Hamid up out of the sand and placed him on the solid ground. Hamid tried to look his rescuer in the eyes, and he just saw a man wearing bright light. And this man looked into Hamid's eyes and said, "I have paid the full price for you. Rest and follow me." And when Hamid woke from his dream, because of seeds that had been sown, he believed that this was Jesus who had appeared to him in his dream. To find some answers, Hamid sought out a group in his community who he knew to be followers of Jesus. And he told them about his dream. This community was able to introduce Hamid to Jesus. They were able to tell him who this man full of light who had rescued him in his dream was. Since then, they've been reading through the gospel and the Bible with Hamid, and they've been able to disciple Hamid, who's become a follower of Jesus. And now this is just one story, and there are so many more like it. And it's not just happening in the Muslim world. It's happening amongst Buddhists and Hindus, atheists and agnostics. It's happening amongst a range of people who are seeking answers to the questions of purpose and meaning in this world, questions of suffering. People who are genuinely seeking answers and who are open to hearing the truth of the gospel. Jesus says, "Open your eyes, look at the fields, they are ripe for harvest." The fields are ripe for harvest. The crop of eternal life is ready to be harvested, but we need harvesters. There need to be reapers out in the harvest fields to bring in the crops. Those local believers needed to be in Hamid's community for him to hear the gospel and to learn who his rescuer from his dream was. There needs to be harvesters in every corner of the world. We need harvesters right here in our neighborhoods and in every neighborhood in the entire world. Because look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. There are people searching for the truth of the gospel. They're thirsting and hungering for the eternal kingdom of God all over the world. And Jesus is sending us to bring in the harvest. Look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. The fields of all people in all places, they are ripe for harvest. So maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're feeling God asking you to do something. Maybe God's asking you to do the hard work of a sower. Maybe he's asking you to recommit to faithfully praying for communities and for people to come to know Jesus. Maybe God's asking you, even in these financially uncertain times, to give and invest financially in his eternal kingdom. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and God's asking you to be a reaper, to go out into the fields and to bring in the harvest. And it might be the harvest field in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your school. But maybe it's the harvest field overseas, in a brand new culture, in a place where there are much fewer harvesters, but where the field is ripe and there are people seeking to know the truth of the gospel, to know the truth of who Jesus is and what he did in a way that makes sense to them, in a way that they can understand. So don't ignore what God is saying to you this morning. Don't ignore this. What happens at the end of our story this morning? Well, the Samaritan woman returns to Jesus and the disciples with a whole host of people from the Samaritan village. And Jesus and the disciples get to stay with them for 2 days. They share the gospel. They share the good news. And they see this host of local Samaritans, of all people, come into the eternal kingdom of God. And the townspeople, they declare this. They say this in verse 42. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Amen.